Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. We hope you had a great 4th of July, celebrated this great nation, and settling in for a long holiday weekend. We're glad you're with us this afternoon, and we think we've got an hour that you're really going to enjoy. Opening segment of our show is sponsored, as it is every day, by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of our program, and of course, Southern Miss Athletics, and a great place to take your family for a 4th of July weekend meal. It would be really, really good. It's always fresh, and you always get friendly service and just a delicious meal at Dickey's Barbecue. We're broadcasting today from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, and I'm delighted to have my old friend Chuck Abity on the Eagle Hour today, a special edition of the Eagle Hour. When we started this show 10 years ago, Chuck.
Good grief.
You were the first guest. You were the first guest ever. So why is that? Well, because nobody had a better front row seat through all the glory days of Southern Miss Athletics than Chuck as the editor, sports editor of the Hattiesburg American. And we're going to talk some about that. But it was brought to my attention recently, Chuck Abity, that you yourself are a former Golden Eagle athlete. And I want you to start our special program today by telling us about your path to Southern Miss and exactly what did you do in the athletic department.
Okay, Bob, the word athlete, I'm not sure that's the right description. But anyway, back in 1970 when I finished at Hattiesburg High School, I had a best friend, Buddy Davenport. He signed with USM Basketball. And I went over there to his house for the signing, and Lee Floyd was there. And back then, Bob, if you will remember, colleges had freshman basketball teams, okay? Mm-hmm. Freshmen could not play on the varsity, okay?
Right.
And so USM had a freshman basketball team, and Lee Floyd was there. And I had played at Hattiesburg High School, and Coach Floyd asked me if I'd be interested in playing freshman basketball at USM. I said, sure. He said, I can't give you a full scholarship, but I'll pay your tuition. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I thought, hey, I can do that because my dad had already told me, you're going to go to college? Fine. How are you going to pay for it?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I ended up doing that. And then in the spring, Pete Taylor asked me if I would come out and play baseball at USM as well, and told me that he could give me a tuition scholarship on top of the basketball win, so my freshman year was paid for tuition. So we were fortunate in that we had freshman teams. So I got to play my freshman basketball. Our coach was Jeep Clark at the time, and then I played for Pete Taylor in baseball. And that was just for 1 year, okay? And I was really not good enough for them to keep me around for varsity basketball, so mm-hmm. that was the end of my basketball career. And then I went to the baseball team. I came back for a second year, and most of the time, Bob, I was a pitcher. I was a relief pitcher, and I didn't really get to pitch as much as I felt like I should have been able to pitch. I pitched 5 or 6 games in my time there. And at the end of the year, I I was best friends at the time with Rick Cleveland. Everybody's mm-hmm. aware of who Rick Cleveland
right.
is. At the time, I told Rick, I'm not going to play baseball anymore. And Rick was already working at the Hattiesburg American. And he asked me if I'd be interested in covering high school ball games for the Hattiesburg American. I had never written a single word, Bob, and I wasn't an ace English student in high school. So in 1972, I went to my first high school football game and covered that. And that began my career as a sports writer. Now, that's but back to the sports thing, Bob, I had a really good time as an athlete back then. And probably the biggest thing that I will tell you I remember my baseball career, I was a teammate with Ray Guy. Okay.
Right. And I do want to get into that with you during the course of the next hour because I know you have some great Ray Guy stories. But I want to ask you this. You pitched for the baseball team, a legendary coach. Put in perspective how different it was then with Southern Miss baseball today.
Oh, my goodness. You talk about night and day. Bob, our baseball games were played on the football practice facility that they use today. Okay? And the home plate was right there next to the road. And the center field fence was about 450 feet away. And this was back when they had the tennis courts. If you remember the tennis courts across the street from the old baseball field, that was back up in there. So we played baseball back then. And, Bob, you couldn't charge admission because we didn't have any – there were no bleachers, okay? So if people came to the game, they might sit in the dugout. They might just sit along the fence – not in the dugout, but on top of the dugout. Or they would sit on their cars – and watch the games. So there was no admission, okay? Now, today they play about 60 games a year. We played about 30, okay? About half at home, half on the road. And we did that. I did that for 2 years. And, you know, it was interesting. I mean, we didn't have much. I mean, you got tuition scholarships, and that was it. Back then, we used wooden bats, okay? And we didn't have designated hitters. So everybody that played hit, okay? Even I got to hit, you know, as a relief pitcher when my bat came up. So, you know, we were independent back then, Bob. And you remember those days. You know, USM as an independent was basically at the mercy of all the teams they were playing, especially SEC teams. Okay, we couldn't call them and schedule them. They would call us and say, okay, we can come on this day, this day, this day, this day. And you may remember this back then, but back then we played Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU.
And they came here?
And they came to Hattiesburg, okay? And Alabama came here and LSU. And we would play them at home, and most of the time we play doubleheaders, okay? Might be 2 sevens, or it might be a 9 and a 7, okay? And we would play them home and away. And, you know, I mean, we had good teams that would come in here, and we were pretty good, okay? Yeah. Hey, look, when Ray Guy was on the hill.
You were real good.
We were always good.
And is it fair to say even those teams, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, they weren't the baseball programs then that they are now? Because baseball in general wasn't as popular, correct?
Right. Well, the only place it really was, Bob, was Mississippi State. I mean, they were already good. Now, that's before Ron Pope got there, okay? But they had a couple of conference championship teams back then. I will tell you that, you know, I remember my sophomore year, we played Mississippi State at our baseball facility, and it was a well-publicized game because our pitcher that day was going to be Buddy Davenport, who played at Hattiesburg High School, and the pitcher that day for Mississippi State was Bobby Myrick. So it was going to be Davenport.
He was from Hattiesburg.
He was from Hattiesburg. And so it was going to be two Hattiesburg guys pitching against each other. And a lot of people showed up for the game. And we beat Mississippi State 1-0 that day. Buddy pitched a shutout that day over Myrick and Mississippi State back then. Mississippi State was good back then. They had they They had good teams back then. And, you know, so that's one of the big games I remember, Bob. And, you know, it's a shame we didn't take up money, you know. And the reason I say that is this, Bob. My sophomore year, we played William Carey College, okay, a three-game series. And we played the first game at Smokey Harrington Park, and we charged admission. Big crowd, school, USM made a lot of money off that game, which showed right then we could play if we had a stadium,
right?
You know, and at the time. And we played there, and then we played a game at USM, and then we went over to William Carey and played game three of that series back then. So, you know, it was good. I mean, but we played a few games at Smokey Harrington Park where we charged money and made pretty well.
Yeah, sold tickets.
Yes, yes.
All right, we've got Chuck Abbey, former sports editor of the Hattiesburg American, now with Pearl River Community College, and a former Southern Miss athlete, as you've heard. When we come back, one of the great all-time athletes was on that same baseball team with Chuck, and they became friends, and we're going to share some of the stories between Chuck Abbey and one of the great athletes of all time next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Happy 4th of July weekend to all our listeners around the state and country. We appreciate you very much. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of our program. Great place to buy Southern Miss apparel. All kinds of summer apparel in stock right now. Football stuff will be arriving any day. You can be sure of that. Probably got a good bit of it already, but as we get a little closer to the season, of course, that will increase. Overall, just the best place in the world to buy your Southern Miss apparel. Hey, I want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of our program, Genesis Sedans and SUVs. Finest luxury vehicles on the road today, and you can visit the all-new Genesis showroom now on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And Chuck Abbey probably knows this. Nobody does any more for Southern Miss than Matt Grubbs, who owns Genesis of Hattiesburg. All right, Chuck Abbey, my guest today, a special edition of the Eagle Hour. And we're I didn't know this. You were like Deion Sanders before Deion Sanders was cool, man. Two sport athlete.
I was a two sporter, but I'm not sure about comparing that to it. You know, I mean, the freshman basketball was fun. Okay, right. we only had eight players on the team, so mm-hmm. consequently, I got to play a lot,
right.
Because of a little foul trouble, and there we are.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Baseball, I was a relief pitcher, okay? And I tell people all the time, Bob, that I have an all-time record at USM in baseball that'll probably never be broken. And Buddy Davenport gave me this label. They told me I was the only pitcher that ever pitched at USM that had a fastball that had an arch on it, okay? Okay. Now, you know. But, you know, and you know what? That wasn't bad if you came in relief of Ray Guy pitching.
Well, that's where I want to go now. Yeah. Ray Guy was on that team, and I learned from you the other day that you and him became friends, and you knew him really the whole time he was alive. Let's go back to baseball, because everybody thinks of Ray Guy as the greatest punter in the NFL, greatest punter in history. You know, Oakland Raider. But I've had many of people tell me that Ray Guy could have played professional baseball. And probably, as we all know, Ray Guy's in the NFL Hall of Fame. had he pursued baseball, he'd ended up in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Was he that good, Chuck?
He was that good, Bob. He was close to 100-mile-an-hour pitcher. Okay, now that was unheard of back then. Okay, and I mean he could throw. I mean he could pitch, and he wasn't just a good pitcher. He could hit the ball as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, I remember him hitting a couple of home runs, but Ray. I'll tell you, the greatest baseball game I ever saw Ray pitch was up at Mississippi State his junior year. And Mississippi State at that time was ranked, okay? Mm-hmm. And Ray went up there, and Ray was upset because Mississippi State had beaten him the year before. And the whole way up there, because we rode together. You know, back then you rode in cars and vans to the games. Ray, the whole time up there, talked about he was ready to get after those guys that day. That night against Mississippi State, Ray pitched. USM beat Mississippi State 6-3 in Starkville. Ray pitched the entire game. He faced 37 batters that night and struck out 15. Mm. Okay. Mm. I mean, he was throwing. Back then, what we used to say was BB tablets, BB, you know, BBs, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were on the side, and you could hardly see the ball he was throwing. I mean, he was awesome that day, okay? And, you know, some days when you throw the ball that hard, okay, some days you're going to be a little wild, you know, and walk some folks. That day up at Mississippi State, he was not wild. Now, a couple of weeks later from that, and this is where I think I come into play, we were playing at Delta State, and Boo Ferris was a coach up there, and Ray pitched a game up there. Well, Bob, you may remember this. Back then, Delta State, they were as good in baseball as anybody was.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
And Ray went up there to pitch, and Delta State rattled him pretty well. Okay, they hit him pretty well, and that was my freshman year, and that was the year, and he was having a hard time, and that was when I made my debut as a pitcher for USM.
Against Delta State,
and I relieved Ray Guy, okay, and I pitched three innings against them. We lost the game, and it was 9-9 for the three innings I pitched. Now, let me explain how that works, okay? Ray Guy was throwing the baseball 95 miles an hour up there. Delta State was hitting him pretty good, so he came out of the game, and in comes me, okay? And believe me, I was not throwing 95. I wasn't throwing 85. All right, those guys, when the ball would leave my hand, they were already swinging because they were used to Ray Guy throwing the ball. And I never did get to face those guys a second time, which was probably good for me.
Good, yeah.
So they all saw me one time. So I pitched three innings and didn't give up a hit, didn't give up a runner. And I felt pretty good about my performance there. But anyway, Ray, you talk about Ray. I remember it, we played at Smoky Harrington Park. Ray Guy threw a no-hitter against them that day. It was a controversial ending to that game, and I'll give you a little explanation of what happened. Ray Guy pitched it. All right, we're playing at Smoky Harrington, big crowd. Leadoff batter for William Carey dribbles one down the third baseline. Our third baseman's name was Sammy Frichter. Sammy reached down and picked the ball up. The ball bounced over his hands, so he couldn't grab it. And the guy was safe at first. There was some question about whether that was a hit or whether that was an error. Would he have thrown him out if he'd have caught the ball? We don't know that. So Ray got better and better as the game went on. Okay, and up on the scoreboard, they never did ever say if it was a hit or an error. Mm-hmm. Okay. By the seventh inning or eighth inning, Ray had not given up another hit in the game. Now the discussion began, was that a hit or was that an error? Because if it wasn't a hit, Ray's looking like he's got a no-hitter.
Right.
And Well, by the ninth inning, they looked up. We looked up at the scoreboard, and it had William Carey, no run, 0-0-0, no runs, no hits, no errors. And down at USM, it had like three runs on six hits in one error. Okay, so they called that little dribbler an error. And when they put it up on the scoreboard, I remember John O'Keefe, who's coaching William Carey at the time. John, Coach O'Keefe was really upset that they had called that an error. And when it was over, see, Ray Guy had his no-hitter.
No-hitter, right.
Bob, like you and I have known over the years, Ray Guy is the greatest athlete.
Do you say he's the greatest athlete that ever played at Southern Miss?
No question, okay, in my mind. Now, you remember Ace Cleveland, longtime sports information director at USM. And I did
Rick
a lot.
Cleveland's
of,
father.
Rick Cleveland's way. Father. And we would go to games together, okay, as me working at the Hattiesburg American. And I would, Ace and I would get into arguments about this all the time. I would tell Ace, Ray Guy was the greatest athlete ever played at USM. Ace would say, oh, no, he was not. It was Bubba Phillips, okay? And Ace and I would argue about that all the time, okay? Mm-hmm. Bubba Phillips was a great athlete. He was before my time. I knew Bubba later on in life because he was just a good tennis player and stuff, and I had played tennis with him. But Ace and I used to have arguments about which one was the greatest athlete ever play, because you remember Bubba Phillips, he played football, played baseball,
right.
Went on, played Major League Baseball. I know he was a great athlete, and some of Ace Cleveland's buddies, you didn't want to sit in a room with them and say, you know, Ray Guy was better than
right.
Bubba Phillips, okay?
Right.
So the two of them were really the two greatest athletes, but in my mind, I thought Ray was the greatest athlete ever play there.
Was Bubba Phillips a multi-sport athlete?
Oh, yes. He was an All-American in football. He was a running back. I believe Bubba played defensive back. I'm not positive about that. But Bubba was a great running back, okay? I mean, he played for some of those Southern Miss teams that beat Alabama.
Hard-nosed
teams. Hard-nosed teams. I mean, they almost played without a face guard on their helmets, mm-hmm. you know? And then Bubba played baseball. And he was a great baseball player there and wound up in the major leagues. So, and then later on in life, he became a grade A tennis player, ranked as one of the best tennis players in the state for older folks. Okay.
Yeah. Hmm.
So, I mean, he was a great athlete. And but it was good, healthy arguments we used to have about those guys.
No one has covered more Southern Miss sports than my guest today, Chuck Abadie, who spent many years. How long were you at the Hattiesburg American?
28 years.
28 years of covering Southern Miss sports for the Hattiesburg American. Continues to be a big fan today, has lots of great stories, and really saw some of the great, great moments in Southern Miss sports. We're going to talk about that. I got one more thing I want him to tell you about regarding Ray Guy as well. So stay with us. This great conversation continues on the other side of this break.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the rock. Great place to go tonight. Get a shrimp po' boy, a cold Pabst Blue Ribbon, whatever you like, and watch a big game on TV. They'll have a lot of Major League Baseball all weekend. 4th Street Bar and Grill, right in the shadow of the rock. Also, want to say hello to our good friends at Town & Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners, family-owned and operated since 1983. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street, or you can call them at 601-264-4920. We appreciate all they do. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We continue our conversation with Chuck Abity. Before we move on from Ray Guy, I do want to ask you this, Chuck. You told me the other day that you stayed in touch with him and you guys knew each other long after baseball. What was Ray Guy like after football to the degree that maybe you had contact with him? Did he have a hard time adjusting to life after his athletic career?
I think he did, Bob. Okay. Now, after he got through playing for the Raiders and all the things he did, all right, he moved back here to Hattiesburg, okay? Wound up working for the university,
right?
Okay, in their athletic department, doing a lot of media relations type things, you know, or alumni gatherings, okay? I mean, good grief, if you're going to – back then, if you had an alumni gathering for USM and you said, well, Ray Guy is going to be there, you had no trouble getting a lot of people
right,
to come.
Right.
Now, Ray did a lot of other sports things after he got through playing football. He played golf, one of the longest golf ball hitters I've ever seen. And, you know, I think the fame got away, you know, the longer he was away from football, the fame kind of got away from him. But you know what? It didn't matter if it was 3 years or 5 years or 10 years after he played in the NFL. When you bumped into him and saw him, he was the nicest. I mean, he always would look at me and he'd say, Chucky boy. You know, that's always what he'd say. And we would sit there and talk about the old days. And, you know, I think a lot of professional athletes like that have a hard time adjusting to things, you know, after life. Because back then, Bob, you didn't have all the sports airwaves that you got now.
Right.
Okay. There wasn't that many jobs to do. Some of them might be color people for their radio teams, you know. And, of course, USM had Vic Purvis for many, many years as a color guy at USM football, and Vic played quarterback at USM. But Ray worked for the athletic department, and he was basically the face of the athletic department when they went to alumni events and things like that. And, of course, he got to school great notoriety when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody thinks that Ray Guy's claim to fame was only that he was a punter, and he was more.
No, he was. And I think I told you this. I had the opportunity this number of years ago to spend an evening with Kenny Stabler. We were doing at the time, a radio station down on the Panhandle, and we had Red Elephant Club a meeting one night to kick off the cut. We were going to carry Alabama football. So I had a chance to spend the evening with Stabler, and we flew him from Mobile into Pensacola. So we had some real one-on-one time for a few minutes. And of course, I asked him about Ray Guy, being a Southern Miss guy. And he told me that Ray Guy was not only a great teammate, he told me that Ray Guy was such an athlete, he could have played safety for the Raiders, and they would have never missed a lick with him on the field.
Well, hey, who has the record for the most interceptions at USM right now?
Ray Guy.
Ray Guy. I want to say his junior year maybe, or it may have been his senior year, he had 8 interceptions. He was a free safety back then. It just, you know, he could see plays develop and jump on the ball quicker than a lot of other guys. But he had 8 interceptions one year. And that's still the most that they've ever had at USM, which was a testament to what kind of athlete he was. And you know what? With the Raiders, Bob, I think he was listed as the number 3 quarterback.
I think he was the number three quarterback. Yeah.
So if Stabler or Blanda got hurt and stuff, Ray would have been the quarterback.
Yeah, what a great athlete. One last thing, and you said this to me the other day, and I reminded you of Lenny Dawson. And I was at a Redskin game one time with my father. We used to have season tickets back in the day, and I do remember Don Meredith. I remember Don Meredith coming off the field for the Dallas Cowboys and going to the bench and smoking a cigarette.
Right.
And you said Ray was not beyond doing that either.
No, Ray did. He'd light up every once in a while. And, you know, of course, back then, Bob, you'd watch a Major League Baseball game, you could see the player smoking in the dugout.
It's just great. You know, I looked that picture up the other day after you and I were visiting, and that picture of Lenny Dawson in a right. Kansas City Chiefs uniform smoking a cigarette on the bench.
It's incredible. And, yeah. and you know, they couldn't have been the greatest cigarettes in the world.
No, these were the best football players in the world.
but they were just great athletes, and that's what they did. Yeah. You know?
And you told me you saw Ray fairly close to when he passed.
Yeah, I did. And of course Ray had a cancer.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And and he lost a lot of weight. And he and I, they asked me to go by and see him every now and then and just sit down and talk to him. Okay. Ray lived, I remember where Ray lived off of South 28th Avenue. I went by his house one day and went in there and his wife was there, and we sat out on the front porch and talked about the old days. And he was, and that really kind of perked him up a little bit, talk about the old days and playing football for P.W. Underwood and Pete Taylor being the baseball coach and stuff, but he kind of went down quick, and of course we all know he passed in 2022. And
shouldn't there be a statue somewhere near the football stadium for Ray Guy?
It's somewhere on the campus.
Shouldn't there be? Yes.
I mean, there should be. When you think about all the things he did out there, Bob, I tell people this. The guy could have been a starter on the basketball team if he wanted to be, okay? Mm-hmm. That was along that time at USM basketball. We're talking about MK Turk days, okay? And USM was an independent. So we had a hard time getting good basketball athletes in here. And consequently, we had a hard time winning games, okay? And Ray, in the intramural league, he was the most valuable player on campus, when he played intramural basketball. But I agree with you. There should be some
I don't see how there's not.
I agree with you. He was just the greatest athlete I ever saw out there.
Now, is this true? I heard this is probably just fable, that he was such an athlete that at one time one of the Asian national ping pong teams came through the area and Ray played a ping pong game and beat the guy.
That was the word. Okay. That was the word. I didn't see it. Okay. I'm not surprised.
We'll have to ask John Cox about that.
You're right. Yeah. John probably know.
Yeah. The great Ray Guy. No question. And the first guy to go in the NFL Hall of Fame. And I remember the night he went and I remember him saying, once a Golden Eagle, always a Golden Eagle.
Yes. Yes.
So in that great moment, the pinnacle moment of his athletic life, his mind was on Southern Miss as much as it was on the Oakland Raiders. I think that said a lot.
Never forgot where he played his college ball, okay? And never failed to mention them when he had the opportunity. And I think that's great. I mean, he and, of course, it was Al Davis that drafted him in the first round in the NFL draft. There he was, pictures.
First punter ever drafted in the first round.
Right, and he's wearing USM stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? When they announced him, and, of course, a lot of people made fun of the Raiders when they drafted him, and three Super Bowl wins later, they weren't making fun of him anymore.
Correct. He told us one time when he was on this show that the famous night when he hit the gondola during the Pro Bowl, he said an official looked at him. He said, I've been looking up at it off and on all night. An official walked over to me. He said, you're going to do it, aren't you? And he said, the next time I went out on the field, I decided, it's time. Kick the football into the daggum gondola at the Superdome.
Hey, Bob, who could ever forget the 93-yard punt?
Ole Miss never will.
But Ole Miss. Okay, my dad drove us up there for the game, and 93 yards.
Yeah. What a great man and a great athlete, and fun reminiscing about the great Ray Guy. All right, we've got another segment with Chuck Abadie. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
D-Bat on Hardy Street sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Luke Reynolds, former great Golden Eagle baseball player, is the manager at D-Bat, so we're better to take your kids for baseball and softball training than Luke Reynolds and D-Bat, state-of-the-art facility right there on Hardy Street, and we appreciate everything that they do for Southern Miss and for us. All right, last segment with Chuck Abney. Chuck, you said 26 years at the Hattiesburg American. You and I have had privately this conversation a lot. You and I are very fortunate. I was in TV at that time. You were in the newspaper industry, and as a result of that, we both had a front row seat to a lot of great, great moments at Southern Miss. But what are the top two memories you have covering Southern Miss?
Oh, number one was sitting on the side at Madison Square Garden, okay? And USM, here we are. I remember just looking around Madison Square Garden. I'd never been there before. I'd always seen NBA games and stuff there, and USM winning the NIT championship.
Yeah.
You know, what I remember about that trip, Bob, my parents went, and a lot of USM people went, and you walked the streets of New York in between games and stuff, and you saw a bunch of USM people wearing black and gold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you never would think you'd see that in New York, okay? That was the number one thing. Now, I got so many other memories I could mention, but I will tell you, us beating Alabama with Bear Bryant.
That was pretty good.
I was there for that. Reggie Collier, good grief. I mean, I think about it. You and I saw Reggie Collier play so many games, you know, how awesome he was. But, you know, between that Alabama game and the Florida State romp, when we went down there.
Correct. Bobby Collin.
They beat them, like, I don't know, like 58-14, and Bobby Bowden. That was some great moments. But, Bob, let's look at it like this, okay? You and I came along. Think about the coaches we saw, okay? Bobby Collins, M.K. Turk, Kay James.
Correct.
Okay.
You can't forget her.
Kay James. I mean, we're talking about NCAA tournament.
Sweet 16.
Regular. Janice Felder and all those players that she had, okay? Hill Denson, who really started our baseball program on the way. And we were there for all that.
I'm going to tell you one, too, I don't think we can forget is Jim Carmody.
Oh,
man,
yes.
How I loved watching Jim Carmody football teams play football.
He, you know, great defensive mind, okay?
Yeah.
And great defensive mind. I thought he they didn't win as many games as you might think, you know, because, you know, it just by then parity was starting to come into college football. But when the Nasty Bunch was nasty,
they were nasty.
They were fun to watch.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
You had Gerald Bayless and Richard Byrd and all those guys playing football.
I agree completely.
I mean, what a time we came through watching those guys.
Yeah. I'll give you another highlight moment for me and probably for you. I think it was a Thursday night in Hattiesburg. Jeff Bowers coaching the football team, and TCU was nationally, I think, in the top five, came into the stadium, and the crowd, and Southern Miss jumped all over them, and the crowd, from the start of the game to the finish, chanting, overrated, overrated, overrated.
I remember that,
and would not stop chanting that, and stormed the field at the end of the game. That was a pretty magical night. And another one real quickly, I'll tell you, I remember the first time, I guess the only time, the Nebraska Cornhuskers came to Hattiesburg.
Right.
And I remember sitting in the stands as the game was getting underway thinking, this is a magical moment. Because at the time, Nebraska was as good as anybody in the country.
Right.
To have the Cornhuskers come to Hattiesburg, I thought was a really, really big night. Even though they won the game, I thought it was a really big night.
Well, you know, Bob, I give a lot of credit to like Bill McClellan and some
yes.
of those people back then. They had the connections with,
get
those,
them there.
With those schools. You remember, we got into the, what was it, the Great Midwest Conference
yeah.
and stuff?
Yeah.
Because of Bill's relationship
right.
With the athletic directors at all these other schools. So we were right in there with them. Metro,
yeah.
the Metro Conference,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about all Metro tournaments down on the Gulf Coast when we played.
Yeah. Yeah.
Louisville, I mean, the Louisville basketball games.
Louisville,
you know,
Memphis.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
When Denny Crum. And
nothing like when Louisville came to town.
No. I mean, when we played Louisville and the crowd got going, it would hurt your eardrums.
Yeah.
I mean, it would get so loud.
It was crazy.
In there,
wasn't it?
You know, it was crazy. It was crazy times.
We could sit around here for hours and talk about these old times. Couldn't
well,
we?
You know, Bob, it was fun. You know, before we get away, Bob, I want to congratulate Rick Cleveland because he just got inducted into the Mississippi Press Association Hall of Fame. First sports journalist to ever get inducted, Rick. And I went to USM together, and his dad was there and stuff, so I congratulate
him. He's a Golden Eagle. Rick Cleveland is a Golden Eagle.
That's exactly
hey,
right.
Hey, Chuck, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll do it again, Bob.
Absolutely. You're welcome here anytime. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back Monday at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss to the top. Into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.